Thanks for joining us on this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more content and to stay connected with us, make sure to visit our social media pages at Freedom Gateway Center and freedomgatewaycenter.com.
Hello, Freedom Gateway Center. I just want to say hello. My name is Ivan Roman. I'm the senior leader of Empowered Life Church here in Southern Oregon. I also have a prophetic ministry where I travel internationally, and I'm an author as well. And it's such an honor to be with you guys. I've been with you before, and I can't wait to be in your presence again. I have this privilege of sharing with you that I don't take lightly on Pentecost Sunday. And I want to share with you some of the prophetic insights that the Holy Spirit has been giving me corporately, as well as what he's speaking to me for you specifically. Let me start off by saying, hello, Randy. Hello, Deborah. Love you so much. I want to start off by saying this. This particular season that we're in is a historic season for obvious reasons with the whole COVID-19. I hope I can say this correctly the way I want people to understand this. The first Passover, you remember the death angel was passing over. So they took the blood of the lamb and they put it over the doorposts so that the death angel would not kill those that were underneath, you know, under the covering of the blood. Well, in the same way or in a similar way, this Passover was a historic Passover in that we were forced to quarantine. Now, it's not exactly like that, so I'm going to take some prophetic liberty with the scriptures, just know I understand the context. But the prophets are prophesying that we're going to experience a historic Pentecost. Now, I've been receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit daily pertaining to this historic Pentecost. First thing that I want to share with you is this. The Lord spoke to me. Now, this has been quite a few days since then, but he said, from now till Pentecost and beyond, I'm releasing exponential miracles. And I love when God's excited, and I also love when God speaks in a way that doesn't sound like me. I don't talk like that. And so I said, wow, Lord, can you give me an understanding of what you mean by exponential miracles? Help me understand what that means. Two verses came to me. I'm going to just quote them to you without the reference, but I'm sure you know them. The first was when the Lord Jesus told Peter to go and grab the coin out of the fish's mouth. Remember, Peter goes, grabs the coin. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's a very interesting passage of scripture. How many of you watching have ever paid your taxes with the coin out of a fish's mouth before? I know I haven't. But I believe what it's speaking to is supernatural provision. And I'm going to spend a significant amount of time with you, Freedom Gateway Center, unpacking the revelation of supernatural provision. Let me share one more verse with you. The Lord showed me was the verse of the fishes and the loaves. And you see this in two places in scripture. And Jesus multiplied fishes and loaves on two different occasions. But the one that really speaks to me for this context the most is the one where Jesus says, hey, these guys are hungry. He's like a shepherd. And he says, I want you guys to feed them. And so what do the disciples do? They do what we would do. What? We don't, you know, the Chipotle is closed down. You know, it's COVID or whatever you have where you guys live. You know, it's like, it's closed down. It ain't open. They start looking with their natural mind. This is what Jesus is teaching them, how to have a renewed mindset. This is what I want to talk to you about. And so then, I forgot who it was now, top of my head says, you know what? There's that little boy over there. He's got a little lunch with just a couple fishes and a couple loaves. I love that. I love how this guy's faith is being stretched a little bit, but he's still in his natural mind. And so Jesus says, bring it here. You know the story. He takes it. He blesses it. And he gives it to the disciples to disperse. He does this on two separate occasions. What are we talking about here? Supernatural provision. Supernatural multiplication. This is not a season for the church to be trapped in the fear of whether, you know, should churches open on Pentecost? Should they stay home and stream their services online? You know, am I going to get COVID? Am I not going to get COVID? Like, use your own discretion. You know, you're a powerful people. You make powerful choices. But I believe the Lord's wanting to shift our perspective from, oh no, the economy is going to crash. And what are we going to do for work? And I get it. I'm not here speaking to you as somebody standing on an ivory platform with millions. No, I'm just a dude like you and that has to work very, very hard to provide for my family the lifestyle that I choose to live, which requires travel. I'm not able to travel right now. And so, which requires gathering people in a building, right? And we're not able to do that. But God is providing for me and my family. And I want to share why. The Lord began to speak to me out of Proverbs. I believe it's 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with your own heart. And then what? You guys can say it. Lean what? Not into your own understanding. I believe right now, the only way the supernatural appears natural is to a renewed mind. Let me say that again. The only way the supernatural appears natural is to a renewed mind. God is giving ideas, supernatural business ideas, ways for his church to prosper in this season. 3 John, beloved, above all things, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers and you be in health. I want to just go after just a few things. The spirit of religion imparts a critical spirit. The spirit of religion imparts a poverty spirit. Now, when I say religion, I want to define this because the Bible actually says there's a religion that's pure and it's undefiled, and it's to take care of the widows, the orphans, and the poor, and to keep oneself spotless from the world. So there's a pure religion. There's also a religion that is a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. This is not the religion we're talking about. I mean, that is the religion we're talking about. We're not talking about the pure religion. Okay, so the spirit of religion loves poverty, and it loves to say things like, you know, God just keeps us poor to make us humble. And, you know, look at this scripture here. It says, you know, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And then we just take all the scriptures out of context. And, you know, look at Jesus. You know, he was homeless. You know, I've heard it all, and I'm sure you've heard it all as well. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You say, well, they're going to get saved. That's awesome. So let me just preach that back to you the way maybe you think this means. So listen, homeless man, I know that you have to dig into the trash can. I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just trying to make a strong point. Listen, homeless guy, I know that you live on the streets and you're freezing cold at night, and you know you have to find places to live, and you're eating out of the dumpster and all that. But someday when you die and go to heaven, God's going to prosper. You're not going to have to worry. Come on, guys. Really? Listen, we're talking about tapping out of the poverty mindset and stepping into the mindset of the kingdom. I'm going to illustrate one more story for you. Harold Eberly, someone who I know that you guys know and love, and I know and love, and I interviewed him on the tour of the prophetic, and I talked to him about, you know, remind us of the story of the time you were in a village. And he said, I was in a village in South Africa. I remember it as if it was yesterday. And we're standing over a hilltop looking over a village. And we said, the guy with me said, man, you know, that village, all they need is Jesus. And he says, I thought to myself, actually, most of them are saved. It's a Christian village. What they need is water, what they need is food, and what they need is education. And so we have to get over the poverty mindset. Why do we get so hung over paper? Why do we get so hung over paper? Why do we put all of our worry and all of our concern in paper? Why? Because we have not tapped into a few things. Number one, our value, according to Matthew chapter 6, look at the birds of the air. Look at the, you know, the lilies of the field. Aren't you much more, what? Valuable than they. You are valuable. And God's your father, and he's going to provide for you. Step number one. Step number two, Isaac sowed in time of famine. I want to encourage you right now. During this season, it's a time to be wise. It is not a time to hoard your resources. It's not a time to, oh my goodness, you know, let's just hoard our resources and hoard our toilet paper and hoard our Campbell soup. And please, listen, this is a time where the church in the book of Acts, when they knew a famine was coming, and I'm not prophesying a famine is coming, I'm just using a scripture. When a famine was coming, what did the church do? They took up an offering, and then they collected things and they sent it to those people to take care of them so the church could be ahead of it. So Genesis chapter 26 is a verse that God's really been speaking to me in this season. And it says this, Isaac, I want to actually read it to you. Give me just a moment here as I open it up. You know, we're all used to doing things just a little bit differently in this season, or rather I should say, we are getting used to. So turn with me to your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 26. And I'm going to look it up right here. Genesis chapter 26. We're going to look at where it says, in 26 verse 1, now there was a famine in the land. Could you hear that? Famine in the land. And I'm going to move down the verse. Move down, Ivan, move down. Let's start in verse 12, Genesis 26, verse 12. Isaac planted crops in the land, and that same year reaped 100-fold. Isaac planted crops in the land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Number one, God blessed him. Say blessed him. Then the second says, the man became rich. Wait, I thought blessing and rich are same thing. Nope. He was blessed, then he became rich. And his wealth continued to grow. He was blessed, he became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him, and so on and so forth. I want to just read that to you one more time. It says, in the Word of God, Isaac did what? This is step number one. He sowed. This is the most fundamental, foundational revelation, but the church has to get it. We need to learn the power of sowing seed. Everything starts with a seed. Every tree that you see starts with a seed. Every business that you see started with a seed. Every child that you see, every human started with a seed. It's all about the seed. Sow a seed, sow a seed, sow a seed. Watch what God will do with the seeds as we're faithful to sow seeds. And sow seeds with intention. I want an apple tree. I'm going to sow an apple seed, right? This is what I'm believing you for, God. I sow a seed in that direction. So I'm going to read this to you one more time. The Lord blessed him. In famine, he was blessed. He became rich, which is interesting. This whole idea of him becoming rich and the difference between rich and wealthy is a very interesting thing. And, you know, I heard Patricia King say on the interview that I interviewed, the tour of the prophetic, she said, rich is a realm. I never heard of it like that. She says, you know, being rich is a realm. Rich people normally get things that they don't need. You know, here's a free appetizer. You know, here's a free this and here's a free that. And she began to share all these stories of things that God's given her. Because what we're talking about, don't get offended here, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. And so maybe you're listening going, I don't care about money, Ivan. I'm just thinking about spiritual wealth. Listen, Proverbs 13:22 says a good man or a good woman leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We're not just talking spiritual. Okay, so maybe you're watching this and you're going, Ivan, you don't know me. I just lost my job. This is hard to hear. Maybe you're going, amen. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. I want to encourage you. The renewed mindset understands that the economy of this world is not our economy. We're not wrestling over dollar bills and hundreds and fifties. No, we understand that we're in the economy of the kingdom of heaven. Remember I said the coin in the fish's mouth? The Lord is wanting to release supernatural revelation to the church. There's something else that the Lord's been speaking to me about. First thing is this whole realm of the supernatural in the realm of resources, the realm of multiplication, the realm of finance, the realm of business. God began to speak to me, asked me a question. He said, Ivan, he says, when you think about creativity, what do you think about? And I said, well, you know, painting, dancing, stuff like that, you know, waving banners, I don't know. And I didn't see this, but in my heart, I kind of felt like God went, sometimes the Lord does when he and I talk. I feel like the Lord said this to me, and I'm going to miss the actual quote. You can find it other places where I've written it just recently. So creativity is this. When you can tap into my mind and you can see in the spirit realm things that are not on the earth and you can manifest it into the earth. I thought, my goodness. See, God's a creator and he has made us creative. And maybe you're like me, you're thinking I'm not creative. You know, I almost failed art class because I created this little pottery thing for my mom. And the teacher thought, I was like 10 years old. The teacher thought that I didn't try because it was so terrible. She's like, I'm going to give you a C because you didn't even try. I tried my best. So I'm not what you would consider creative in that definition of creative. I am creative in the context of learning how to tap into the mind of the Lord. Now, it's things that be not as if they were, but it's also how to improve things that need improvement. It's also, you know, societal transformation, transformation of regions, transformation of families. It is tapping into, are you ready? Isaiah chapter 11, one says this. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the root of Jesse. Remember, Jesse is the father of David. It's the lineage of Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will do what? Rest upon him. I love that. And I want to encourage you. I know that that the Odells, their spiritual father, is Brian Simmons. One of the best teachings I've ever heard on the seven spirits of God is from Brian Simmons. He says, the spirit of the Lord rests upon him. And it's the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Now, I want to teach just on this realm of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom, knowledge reveals, a word of knowledge, Lord, show me you got pain in your hip. Is that right? Yes, I do. That reveals. But the wisdom directs. Let me say that again. Knowledge reveals while wisdom directs. Wisdom is directional. And I believe that what God is wanting us to tap into is if we tap into the mind of the Lord, we manifest the wisdom of heaven. And then we begin to create. Deuteronomy 8:18, God gives you the power to do what? To make wealth. Why are we talking about this during Pentecost service? Because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God can prepare for those who love him and have called them according to his purpose, something like that. And it says this, though, no one can know the mind of the man but the spirit of the man. And no one can know the mind of God but the spirit of God. You're tracking? But you, me, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. God is not sitting on the throne worried and concerned about the jobs and worried. Now, I don't mean to say that like he's not a father and he cares for our heart, but he's not afraid. He ain't scared. God's not scared, okay? No, he's got strategies. He's got solutionaries that he's raising up in this hour. And these are those that will tap into his mind out of a place of peace, identity, and rest. And ideas will flow through your mind. What did I share earlier? We cannot lean on our understanding. The people that are getting downloads and revelations are those. I'm going to give you some practical ones here so that you can understand. Maybe you can identify with some of these practical ideas in the season for you. Because God wants to prosper you, and he wants to give you multiple streams of income because he wants generational inheritance. I believe that with all my heart. Generational inheritance. Some revival cultures, which I've been a part of, now faith is, now be healed, now. It's a now movement. Then there's the more fundamental evangelical that are all about legacies. They build colleges and universities. I believe that God is in the both. He's in the now revival. He's also a God of legacy. And we need to learn to marry now and legacy. We need to learn to marry the two together. And so there's been some people in my world, in my sphere of influence, and I've been sharing things like this with people, encouraging the church. I mean, listen, the same spirit that was poured out on Pentecost, we're talking about what? That this Pentecost will be one of the greatest Pentecosts in history. I'm going to unpack this deeper. I'm teaching. Well, the first thing is we need to understand something. Maybe we're waiting, you know, for a Pentecost to happen. I'm going to talk more about this later than like it did. And we all speak in other tongues. But God's spirit has already been poured out. You don't have to wait and tarry for him to be poured out again. He lives in you. Ha! Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. 1 Corinthians 2, the spirit lives in you. So what we need to understand is that same spirit poured out on Pentecost lives in us, and we can tap into the mind of the Lord. And so I've been teaching this, and one person came to me and said, you know, Ivan, you've been talking about business. I'm not a business person. I don't see myself as entrepreneurial, but I make empanadas. I make pasteles. It's a Puerto Rican food. I make this rice and people seem to love it. And I feel like I got an idea that I need to go and spread and give food and pasteles to all these different people and let them try it. And then just say to them, you know, if you ever want me to cater, you know, one of your gatherings, you know, just let me know. I thought that's a brilliant idea. What is in your hands, Moses? What is in your hands right now? Don't look over the fence and go, man, look at that. What's in their hands? Now, what's in your hands? Another friend of mine said, Ivan, I've been asking God for ideas like you've been telling me. I've been praying and I just don't know. I work so much and but I said, what do you want? What do you mean what I want? What do you want? I don't know what I want. Well, there's the problem. As long as you don't know what you want, somebody else is going to tell you what you want. Isn't that true? He said, you know what I want, Ivan? I want to make tables. I said, you want to make tables? He said, I want to make tables. So tell me about these tables, because I always ask questions. Because if somebody just says, I don't know, then they haven't thought about it enough. And he gave me the specific schematic, the layout, the blueprint, and it was brilliant. These are the type of the custom handmade tables at $4,000 for one table. I said, what's holding you back from it? He said, I don't think people will buy it. So I addressed that lie. Now the guy's on his way of making custom designed tables. Listen, he's got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning so he can make the table so he can go to work. There's still a price to pay, for what we're talking about. It's not just, God, I pray for ideas, and bloop, idea comes, and you go, now what? You got to use faith, right? Move forward. So I want to start here with you guys. Number one, renewal of the mind. God gives you an idea. I want to encourage you, the next step is we have to move forward with faith. We have to transition or grow or whatever words you want to use from prophetic revelation to putting apostolic feet to prophetic revelation. Let's continue to talk about Pentecost. So now what? We're, you know, Pentecost, it's a historic Pentecost, but we can't gather. At Empowered Life Church, the church I lead, we can't gather because in our city, they want 25 and under and social distancing 6 feet apart. And our building only fits 145 people in our sanctuary, so we have to have two services. And we're not going to do it for 10 people. You know, it's easier online. Maybe you guys are in a similar situation. So are we going to miss out on this historic Pentecost? No. Because here's what I want to encourage you. The Spirit of God, we just got done talking about Christ in you. You having the mind of God. I want to share something else with you. The Spirit of God that dwells inside of you is living and he's active. Here's what I believe that God is going to do with this historic Pentecost. Are you ready? He's going to awaken the church. He's going to awaken the church to what we already had. Miracles, signs, wonders have always been a part of our inheritance. The harvest, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, was plentiful. It's the laborers that are few. So this morning, the Lord spoke to me. This is fresh. We'll talk about exponential miracles. We'll continue to dive into this, but this is fresh. I said, Lord, with COVID-19 not being able to open the building, you know, we're believing for historic Pentecost. Like, you know, theologically, I understand certain things, but I want to know from you, like, are we going to miss out? Like, are the churches that are opening going to get the fire because they're gathering like they did in the upper room? I feel like the Lord spoke this to me. And he said, Ivan, this could be the first time since Pentecost that my people are in one accord. Oh, that piqued my interest. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You know, the Bible says this, they were all in one place and in one accord. They were all in what? A place, upper room, and in one accord. Let's talk about the one accord. The definition for accord there is one passion. Come on, somebody. Hear my heart. I'm trying to be funny, try to make you laugh. But I've been in ministry now for a little over 20 years. And after church on Sunday, I hear some of the weirdest things, you know, and some of them are, you know, have merit, and some of them are just off the wall. And it's hardly ever we're in one accord. It's, you know, the worship was too loud. I didn't like that song. It was still a little too slow. The building was too cold. When you said this, you misquoted the scripture. It actually says this. You accidentally said Abraham instead of Isaac. And, you know, people can get confused. I mean, I can go on and on 20 years of things like that. So people are, even though they're in a place, they're not in one accord. And so right now, with this quarantine and social distancing and COVID, you know what's happening? Our favorite restaurants are closed. Some of our gyms are beginning to reopen. But, you know, some of the busyness of life, like James Gall says when I interviewed him, he said, God spoke to him and said, listen, like Moses, I'm inviting my people to turn aside and see what I would say to them. Things have become more simpler for us in this season. We've had to, you know, go like, what are we going to do with all the time? I have little kids. What are we going to do with my boys? We're playing chess at the table. We're having dinners at home more. We're spending more face-to-face time. We're going for long bike rides. God has reset the table of family. God has reset the table of education. And God has reset the table of the Lord. Things are changing. There is a new normal. And the new normal is the original normal. It's where the church becomes the church and recognizes that that same flame of Pentecost, you've been called the steward your whole life. That flame is in you. The Holy Spirit poured out and he continues to pour out. He continues to pour out. And even right now, just lift your hands up and you can say, fill me, Holy Spirit. You can say, manifest through me, Holy Spirit. You can say, touch me again, Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you as you're watching this right now, this historic Pentecost is you and I being awakened. Moses, he saw the bush that was burning without consume. Then I believe he became the burning bush to an entire nation. So if we're waiting for a gathering where the Spirit of God falls out, you can have it right now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive the fire of God. But I want your heart, your mind, your passion to be what? Hebrews 12:2, fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. read Romans, I believe it's 15:2, and it says they were all in one accord with what? The glorifying with one voice, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the one accord, I believe, is. All over the world right now, people are saying, we just want community again. We just want be in church together. We just want fellowship. We just want hugs. People of all the other stuff and complaints. I'm not getting any complaints about sound and parking or chairs. Nope. People want to meet. They just want to get together. Now let's do this. Let's fix our heart around what? Jesus, we're passionate for you. Your Spirit's already been poured out 2,000 years ago. So this Pentecost, we remember. We remember the outpouring of your Spirit. And we position ourselves, Lord, we position ourselves for the outpouring. Let me just break this down just very quickly here. I'm going to end here soon. In that day, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring some tweaks here. These are some things I'm hearing fresh. I'm doing it as a teaching, but I've heard it as words from the Lord. It's pretty neat. He's giving me a word every day through the scriptures. Acts chapter 2, something's interesting. There's a sound that's heard and people gather to the sound. There's a sound that's heard, people gather to the sound. I taught for years, the sound was, whoa, shoo, hey, shabba, shabba. You know, they were drunk as you're supposed. We're not drunk as you suppose. Now, I love that. I love the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I believe they did experience intoxication for the presence of God. I love all that. However, that wasn't what drew the crowd. What drew the crowd was this. They heard them speaking in their own language. Puerto Ricans, Jews, Mexicans, I don't know, name something. You know, I don't know where you live, what you have, what language is, Arabic, whatever. So now, Spirit of God falls on me. I start to speak what? I start testifying of the goodness of God, magnifying the glory of the Lord. I start preaching. And they hear it, how? In their own language. I want to say this to you. When I say church, I mean me. We have not been great at speaking in the language of other cultures. I remember the first time my wife came to our home, a family home, you know, not just my mom and dad, but you know, our family, we'd have Sundays, we wouldn't go to church, we would eat together. And my wife left there because we talk loud, we interrupt one another, we talk with our hands, we're passionate, we drink way too much coffee, so everybody's kind of strung up and jacked up. And then we get in the car and my wife goes, are you guys okay? I said, what do you mean, baby? She goes, you guys seemed like you were fighting the whole time. I said, that was one of the best family times together. That's what we're talking about. She just laughed. She thought we were arguing the whole time. So every culture, every group of ethnic group or ethnos or every church has its own culture. Language creates cultures. Language creates cultures. The Lord began to speak to me that he's releasing, remember this, the mind of the Lord, divine intelligence. He is upgrading our software, hardware. I don't know. I'm not a computer guy. But we're getting an upgrade in our communication. God's given us the ability that when we speak to people, it's not going to be with Christianese. It's not going to create tons of offense. We're going to be able to learn the sound. Remember the sound of the seven mountains? By tapping into divine intelligence, the mind of the Lord, the creativity of heaven, we're going to have the ability to look at somebody and God's going to speak to us and say, they're in politics. Use this term and you'll say something. You won't even know what you're saying. Mama Cindy Jacobs tells a story where she was in some particular government house and she was sharing and she gets in, you know, they leave and her husband, Mike, goes, you don't even know what you just said, do you? She goes, nope, never heard those words before in my life. He goes, well, this is what this is. In politics, this means that. She goes, yeah, I didn't know. It's just the Spirit. God's going to do that for you. He's going to do that for me. We're in a season of harvest. We've always been in a season of harvest. Hear what I'm saying. I want to position us correctly during this Pentecost. I don't want any of you feeling like, man, yeah, I miss gathering. That's not what I'm saying. Right now, there's a fresh fire coming upon you. What? To awaken you to your original design in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the spirit of creativity. God is upgrading to you a new language, a new ability to communicate with the people around you where you're not creating offense, but you're testifying of the goodness of God. Watch and see as presence evangelism will begin to fall. Presence evangelism will begin to fall. The fishes and the loaves, the multiplication. How? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we set him as the one thing our heart desires, God will cause masses to be saved. I prophesy over the Odells and the I just lost the name of the community. I know it. Life Center, Gateway Life Center. I prophesy over this community that there's upgrade after upgrade. The reset is under reformation. The reset is unto reformation. What's happened in our community, what's happening in your community is this. As you know, your pastors are not fivefold pastors. If you didn't know, let me explain. You have an apostle and you have a prophetess. And they think differently from heaven. As much as they love you and I love you and we all love you, I'm a prophet and I lead a local church. I love my local church. But I'm not always thinking about Bill. How's Bill? How's Bill doing? I wonder how Bill's doing. I'll actually know how Bill's doing because God will show me how Bill's doing. And I'll say, hey, Bill, this is how you're doing. And this is what you need to do. And I love you. And God bless you. And if you need to more, meet with the pastoral team. Sounds so mean. But my world is the blueprint of heaven. It's revelation. It's building. That's my world. And so what's happened, I feel like, in this reset has been our leaders, like myself, like your leaders have had the ability to reset and actually remove the one-size-shoe-fits-all called pastor and step exactly into those comfy shoes. And our communities have gone, whoa, there's no possible way that Ivan, Randy, and Deborah can call everybody. So we need to start being the body, connecting with one another. That's what we're seeing in our community. Our church is risen up more than any other time that we've ever experienced in the history of our church. Why? We're the body of Christ. We have the mind of the Lord. We have the compassion of Jesus. Sometimes titles and positions actually hinder us from being who God's created us to be. We need to have grace for our leaders to step into who God's created them to be. And then now we need to have grace for you as saints to shift your perspective and go, whoa, we see. We actually need training and equipping because we're the army of the Lord. We're called to advance. We're called to see restoration of cities, not just restoration of individuals. We're called to see restoration of marriages, but we're called to see restoration of nations. We're called to see the mountain of politics influence. We're called to see the mountain of education influence. That's what God's doing. Right now, what he's doing is he's resetting. I'm going to repeat this. The table of the Lord, the table of education, and the table of family. So I just want to pray over you right now. Father, I bless this amazing community. And I pray that the spirit of Pentecost, the fire of God that's in them, Lord, we steward that flame, throw logs on the fire. Cause this community to be awakened with a fresh fire like they haven't experienced in so long. Love each and every one of you guys, and I look forward to seeing you.
Hello, and thanks for listening to this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more resources and to get connected, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.